So anyway, let's go to our word this morning. Get your Bibles out. And go, if you would, to the book of Hebrews this morning, chapter 4. Now, if those of you should be good note takers or taking notes, this is a continuation of 2 weeks ago when I started preaching on the message called The Rise and the Fall of Man. Now, if you wonder why some of the scriptures may be completely and totally different and all this, it's because I lost it all. I'm not too happy with my iPad. It seems to eat my messages lately. So I lost all my messages and had to go back and redo them. So if there's a few scripture differences, it's, you know, a blessing. It's just you get an extra edition. So anyway, I started talking about the rise and the fall of man, that everything in your life, the rise and the fall of your life, all has to do with what's coming out of your mouth. You may believe me, you may not believe me here this morning, but I'm telling you this morning, the success of your life is what's coming out of your mouth. The failure of your life is what's coming out of your mouth. Hello? If you walk around all the time and say, I'm stupid, God, I can't get anything done, I can't get nothing done right, I'm not ever going to get anything done right, and that's truly what you believe in your heart, you know what you are? Stupid, you're not ever going to get anything done. Forgive me for my bluntness this morning. But I see people walk around all the time. I see businessmen and you know, people in just life, and they walk around all the time and they're cursing themselves because of what's coming out of their mouth. Everything that they do, everything that they say is just, it's just cursing them. If there was, you know, if they could understand that instantaneously, you know, they're getting exactly what they're saying, they'd quit saying it. But they don't believe it. And we live in a life, we live our lives based upon what you have gained from all the your senses in life. I'm not talking about sense like smart sense. I'm talking about your senses, your hearing, your smelling, your seeing, your tasting, your knowledge, everything you've put into you, you're living your life. And if you've been around negative people all your life, and you've been around people that are naysayers and yeah buts and you know, can't hack it, can't do it, aren't going to be, you know, poor pitiful me, and you've been around that all your life, that gets in you. Gets in you like an infection. And it gets in your brain, and it finally gets in your heart, and then it starts coming out of your mouth. And when it comes out of your mouth, you are setting yourself up for a curse. I'm preaching good here. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm preaching good, man. You're never going to rise above your confession in life. Now see, I want to get into this because I've watched and observed Christian people for about the last 28 years since I've been saved. And I notice there's a lot of people in life that are Christians that walk around, they'll speak the Word of God, they'll say the Word of God, but if you get them over there and you poke them just a little bit and squeeze them just a little bit and put them in a bad situation just a little bit, what comes out of their mouth is not the Word of God. Because they don't really believe it. They're doing it as religion. They're doing it as routine. They're doing it as just some kind of a rote thing. They don't really believe it. It's not really in their heart. It's not really seated down inside their heart. It's just some religious cliche that they've got on their life. And I want to tell you something, you'll never be successful like that. That's not the gospel. That's not the power that Jesus wants us to walk in. That's not what he died for on the cross for our lives. And I see a lot of people playing the religious card, but I want to tell you something, you're never going to get anywhere. You're going to always come up short. You're going to always be in want, and you're never really going to have a relationship with Jesus. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed on into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Sometimes that's hard to swallow, because what we think is whatever's happening to us in life or whatever we're going through in life is got to be only happening to us. But the truth of the matter is all people, no matter what you are, rich, poor, live in America, live in Guatemala, live in Russia, live wherever, all go through and feel the same things in life. There's nothing that's come upon your life that has singularly only happened to you. Now, at the moment you may feel like that, at the moment you may not have known anybody else, but I'm telling you, the problems you're going through, the strain on your life, It's not just only happened to you. Matter of fact, it all happened and it all went through Jesus, it says, touched with every one of the feelings of infirmity. If you feel lonely, Jesus felt lonely. If you feel sad, Jesus felt sad. If you feel pain, Jesus felt pain. If you feel heartache, Jesus felt heartache. You can't go to Jesus and say, Lord, I just really feel like this. I know you don't know what I'm talking about, but, you know, you can't sympathize with me. Because he can sympathize with everything. I've had people before come to me and say, well, you know, I know that you can't really understand what I'm feeling right now. And I said, well, how do you know? How do you know? You see, church, I want to tell you something. That's the ultimate gain of the enemy, is to get you isolated, feel like only it's happening to you, and then get you to start agreeing with him out of the confession of your mouth so that he can put an end to you. We as Christians have got to wake up and realize that we're in a battle, we're in a war. And the war is literally for your soul. And the reason why the enemy wants to take you out, he knows you're not going to go to hell because you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but why he wants to take you out is because he doesn't want you to tell anybody else about Jesus. He doesn't want you to help any other person. He doesn't want you to go to somebody else that's in pain and be able to give them comfort. So every day, whether you're in Guatemala like Jeff was, or you're just at home, or you're just at your job, you're under attack because the enemy wants you to fail and to fall, and he wants you to become introverted and looking inside your life at your problems and your despairs and your situations, and wants you to change your confession so that you will not be effective as a witness. The Bible actually says, and I'll get into this later, that Jesus actually bled and died on the cross so that he could give you the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, give you the word to speak to people. So that's how important he thinks you are. Amen? Okay. So our confession is brought about by what we truly believe in our heart. So then you can turn that around and you say, well, what do you truly believe in your heart? Well, what are you saying out of your mouth? If you want to know what's in your heart, listen to what comes out of your mouth. If you walk up to the mirror and you look in the mirror and you say, oh man, I wish I was pretty, then you, in your heart, believe you're ugly. Right? I mean, this is not rocket science here. It's reality. What you believe in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Jesus said, let's just read it, Matthew chapter 12. Go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Matthew 12, 33 says, either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else make the tree bad, its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth's going to speak. It's what's in your heart is what's going to determine your confession. And what your confession is going to determine the direction you're going. What if the Wright brothers would have stood around all the time and said, nah, you can't fly. There's no way you can fly. There's no way that you can get a plane or build something that would defy the laws of gravity. You can't do that. They'd have never done it. They'd have never done it. Read on. It says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you're going to be condemned. Jesus said that. That's not just church doctrine, something that's been made up. Jesus himself said, by your words you're going to be justified, and by your words you're going to be condemned. Or can I say it this way? By your words you're going to have success, or by your words you're going to have failure. Okay, so let me go step back for a minute. Let's talk about this. So you, right now, every one of you sitting in here today, what's in your heart has been placed in your heart by one of two means. either by what I'm going to call sense knowledge, the five senses, the sense knowledge of everything around there, sense knowledge, or by revelation knowledge. Now, sense knowledge, you know, I'm not saying you don't go to school. I'm not saying you don't read books. I'm not saying, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. Although you need to make sure it's right. I mean, I get so irritated. First they tell me, don't eat eggs. They're going to make you have high cholesterol. Then they say, yeah, study's been done. Yeah, you can eat eggs. It don't make a difference. And I'm like, what? You make me worry about this, and then it's all gone. You know, yeah. And then you know, how many times have we seen that? Oh, well, this is horrible. Don't do this. And they say, yeah, accident. Yeah, it's okay. You know why? Because I think they're just guessing. You know, I think they're guessing. And they're trying to give educated guesses at why this works like this. And they're like, oh, that's what it was. Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, what we said before, just disregard that. And this is what's really right. And I'm like, well, if you can't get it right then, well, I won't believe you now. How do I know that what you've now come up with is right? Right? Point is that everything that we take in, we've got to filter it through some form of truth. Because if you don't filter it through some form of truth, you can give it wrong information. But let's just say that you're being raised with your parents or around wherever you were or whatever, wherever you were, that's how you've gained, that's what's in your heart right now because it's come through your senses. And it's all natural. I don't mean organic. I mean, it's all on a natural level. It's not on a spiritual level. Are y'all with me? It's all on a it's all on a natural level. It's not on a spiritual level. Revelation knowledge is though when the spirit of you comes in contact with your God, he's not going to speak to you through a sense knowledge. He's going to speak to you through revelation knowledge. Right? God is a spirit, and those that worship must worship in spirit and truth. I was thinking about this, and I was asking some people about it, because if the Bible says, even if you had never read the Bible, even if you were illiterate and you could not read, the Bible says you have a knowledge on the inside of you that you're a spiritual being. And if God is going to speak to you, he's going to speak to you in the realms of the spirit. Now see, Hollywood's gotten it all so messed up. Hollywood's gotten it all. I mean, we're talking about, you know, heads spinning around and green throw up. And anytime you think about spiritual things, it's ghosts and spooks and this and that and the other, right? But I'm talking about if God is a spirit. And when he speaks to you, he's going to speak to you on a spiritual level. And when that spiritual knowledge comes into you and it becomes real in your heart, that's revelation knowledge. He said, well, I don't know if I've ever heard God speak to me like that. Well, then let me ask you a question. Today, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life? Do you know that if you died, you'd go to heaven? And you say, well, yeah, Pastor, I know that. Well, God had to speak to you through the Spirit that he was really real, and you had to have a knowledge of it, and that knowledge compelled you and propelled you to make a confession out of your mouth and a belief in your heart, and boom, Jesus came into your life and you were saved, and now you know you're saved, and now you sit here in these pews sitting there saying, yeah, I know if I die today I'm going to heaven. I have full assurance of that. Well, where'd that knowledge come from? Revelation knowledge. Are y'all with me here? That's revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge superseded sense knowledge. Now, I'm making this real simple, but y'all just hang with me. Some of y'all, I can't tell if you're just bored or you just really just want to go eat or what. Now, y'all looking at me really strange. I don't like it. Because I'm trying to make this clear for you. So many times we as Christians say, well, I just don't know if that's really the right thing to do. I just don't feel like that is. What do you mean talking about feelings? Feelings comes from sense knowledge. I don't want to operate my life from sense knowledge. I want to operate my life from revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge always is going to supersede sense knowledge if you're a Christian, if you believe in what the Bible says. For instance, good example. Sense knowledge says, okay, if you don't have enough money, the first thing you need to do is start trying to save money and cutting back so that you can save money. The Bible says, revelation knowledge says, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measures pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall be given in your bosom. The Bible says, no, pray and ask God where he wants you to sow seed, and then you take your money and you give, and then money is going to come back to you because God works in that realm. So sense knowledge says, how could I have more if I gave? If I give away, I can't have more. Revelation knowledge says, oh no, God multiplies it and sends it back to you. Sense knowledge says, well, how could God send it back to me? I don't understand. Revelation knowledge says, I'm going to send it back to you on every way that comes your way. You see what I'm saying, church? They don't coincide with each other. Sense knowledge and revelation knowledge. Sense knowledge says, I'm not going to believe it till I can see it. Revelation knowledge says, no, by faith you enter in. Let me just give you a few, if I can remember them, a few sayings that all are based on sense knowledge. Number one is, I'll believe it when I see it. That's a sense knowledge. That's not a revelation knowledge. Did you see Jesus when you got saved? You know, I've told this story before, but I had a person years ago when I first was, I mean, literally the first year or so of pastoring, and a person came into my office. Somehow they heard about me, came over, came into my office, wanted me, and sat down, and this person began to explain to me and said, listen, I know I'm not right with the Lord, and I really would want to be right with the Lord. I thought, this is an easy one. I mean, this is, wow, thank you, Jesus. Send me an easy one here. So I explained to the person. I said, well, this is what the Bible says, and I was going through it and all. And so I said, this is what the Bible said. Do you believe it? And I said, that's my problem. I don't believe it. And so then I was kind of stumped. And I was like, well, but that's what the Bible says. Do you believe the Bible's true? Well, I'm not sure. So I said, oh, okay. So we went around and around and around and around in circles. And finally, this person just totally exhausted me because they kept trying to argue the point. And I said, well, why'd you come? Well, I don't want to go to hell. And I said, so you do believe in hell? Well, yeah. I said, man, this is getting any more bizarre. I said, so you believe in heaven? Oh, yeah. You believe in God? Yeah. You believe in the devil? Yeah. But I just don't believe I can be forgiven for my sins. I said, well, then go to hell. And when I said that to that person, their eyes about popped out of their head and said, but I don't want to. I said, then believe the word of God. I don't understand. See, what I'm saying is that it's when sense knowledge begins to overwhelm revelation knowledge, it'll always say, well, I can't believe that. Well, listen to me. You've got to set your life apart and say, okay, now what am I doing that's based upon sense knowledge? And if you want to know, then listen to what comes out of your mouth. Because the confession out of your mouth is going to tell you what's in your heart. So if a situation comes up and you say, ooh, that's a bad situation. What are we going to do about this? I don't know. What does the word say? Well, Jesus said this, this, and this. Oh, okay. Well, you know, look, I believe in revelation knowledge. I'm going to go with Jesus on this one. Well, then see, folks, you begin to walk in that. You begin to speak it out of your mouth. Then all of a sudden, faith comes in your heart. And as soon as faith is grown in your heart and comes out of your heart and is produced in your heart, well, then all of a sudden, you are not speaking out of your mouth just the word. You're speaking out of your mouth what you really believe. And that's called faith. And when you come to that place in your life, then revelation knowledge is taking over and you're going to have victory. But if you say, oh, I thank you, God, that you're going to take care of me today because you said that you'd always be with me, you'd never forsake me. And then you just fall down and say, oh, God, I don't know what's going to happen. It looks bad, Lord. See, you're not, your sense knowledge is overcoming your revelation knowledge. There's not really faith in your heart. And you know that because what is really abundantly spewing out of your mouth is not good. If you say 2 plus 2 is 4, that's knowledge coming out of your mouth, and that's really what's in your heart, and that is true. 2 plus 2 is 4. I'd be really mad if I find out someday, you know, 2 plus 2 wasn't 4, but as of this point, what I was learned in school tends to be true on that area. Are y'all with me? So when you live in your life, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show you this. What Paul says about this. Ephesians chapter 2, let's look at verse 1. It says, "And you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, in fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love where he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingness of his riches, of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk therein. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, you who called uncircumcised by what is now called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world." That's a bad place to be. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Now, folks, listen to me. He's stating here that you were separate. There was no way you were going to get to God. But he said, "I've done away with all of that. Now I've put you in heaven. Matter of fact, seated in Christ, with Christ in heavenly places. I put you in the position to be right there at the throne of God." Now, folks, that contradicts sense knowledge. And it contradicts a whole lot of religious knowledge. Because religious knowledge says, no, yes, you got saved, and yeah, you're in the kingdom, but boy, you got to work, and you got to get it right, and you got to get it down, and no more of this, you got to quit doing that, you got to quit doing this, you got to get this straight, you got to get that out of your life, got to get this, got to get that done, get that done, and then maybe you can get up there, and then maybe God will answer your prayers. Because he still takes you from what religion does, is it lets you get in by grace, but then you have to enter into works to have any success. And I'm going to tell you something, that's a lie from the pit of hell. The day you get saved, the day you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the day you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you know that you know that you know that you know that if you died, you're going to heaven, that day you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. That day the wall is torn down. That day you have rights and privileges of everything that's in heaven. That day everything belongs to you. That day, that moment, that second. Are you going to use it all? No, because your sense knowledge is going to tell you it's not yours. Your sense knowledge is going to overwhelm your revelation knowledge, and you're not going to walk in it because you don't believe it. You don't have any faith for it. Your head's going to tell you, oh, well, I don't know why God would do that. And not until you come to the place to the revelation knowledge begins to overcome your sense knowledge are you going to really walk in victory. And we have this access to God, and it's by the Spirit. You've got to live in revelation knowledge based upon your spirit speaking to God. Let me show you another one, since those of you may not believe me that I'm speaking truth. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to lay it down for you this morning as a lawyer arguing his case. Convince the jury. So y'all can all shout hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It's a scripture that, you know, may be real familiar to you, but we use, but I want to show you this morning that we've used it a lot out of context. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law could not do what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Is he not talking about what I'm preaching here? To be carnally minded, we always think, oh, that's having a mind full of lust. That's wanting to, you know, be lustful minded and evil minded and things like that. That's carnally minded. I want to tell you this morning, carnally minded is thinking and living by your sense knowledge. Carnally minded is saying, well, I'll believe it when I can see it. Nothing good ever happened around here. It's carnally minded. Because the Bible says with God, all things are possible. Philippians tells us, you know, Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Yeah, you know, Pastor, but I remember old so-and-so. They were a good person. This happened to them. I can't speak for old so-and-so. I don't know what was really in their heart. I don't know what, when they went home, what they said in their bedroom at night. Had a person the day said something to me and said, well, it looks like we may lose this deal. And I said, I ain't losing. I said, I haven't lost anything in my life. And he kind of looked at me funny. And I said, I don't go down, I go up. And so then he began to kind of see what I was talking about, you know, and it sort of freaking him out. I said, I don't know what you're doing, but I mean, I'm praying and my God's taking care of my situation and I'm going up. I don't go down. You want to go down, you want to say that out of your mouth, you can say that out of your mouth, but I'm going up. I'm prospering. Matter of fact, everything I put my hand to prospers. And so I know that's what God tells me. So I'm going to prosper. Yeah, but I ain't no yabbits in my life. I don't live by yabbits. A yabbit is a little disgusting creature that gets in your head and tells you things can't happen. They're called yabbits. I hate yabbits. There's nothing more frustrating in life than trying to minister to somebody or counsel somebody, and you say something to them, and then they say, yeah, but. I thought, man, I hate yeah, buts. Hate yeah, buts. Y'all with me? Yeah, buts are birthed out of sense knowledge. Listen, folks, if I would have been standing there with the Wright brothers, I'd have said, you boys are fools. Because my sense knowledge would have said, how are you going to get something that weighs that much to fly? Are y'all with me? I'm still amazed at it. When I go to airports and I see, you know, those big, huge, you know, all the new, it's not 747s aren't the big ones anymore, but, you know, the big planes sitting out there, I look at them and I'm like, how does that hunk of metal get off the ground? I mean, I understand that the motor pushes, I understand the law of lift and all that, but I'm just saying, to just look at it, just like, If you didn't know anything about anything and you said, okay, well, this thing's going to take off that runway and fly, you're like, no way. Your sense nods would say, no way. But there's laws that we've learned that supersede that, right? And all I'm saying, there's a law of the Spirit called revelation knowledge that supersedes sense knowledge that you've got to get a life into. And you're only going to get it by spending time getting out of your carnal mind and getting into the things of God. To be spiritually minded doesn't mean that you're so lofty and high that you can't deal with anybody. Spiritually minded means you listen to what God says and say, now, God, how does this work? How can this be? What do you, I'm looking at it, I'm reading it, you said it, it's a promise, I believe it, but man, how am I seated with Christ in heavenly places? I mean, again, here's one right here. I know what the scripture says. But right now, if we all smell, we're in heaven. And Jesus is standing there and he says, come on, Robert, sit down up here at the throne. I'd say, ooh, I don't know, that makes me a little uncomfortable. Why would I be sitting up there? Are you sure? It made me feel kind of weird. Why? Because I don't really believe it. Because I can't really quite understand it. Because I can't really quite understand. Now, when I'm at home, I'm in my house, and I know that Jesus is in heaven, and he's interceding for me, and I'm taking authority over my house and my throne and whatever's going on at, you know, in my dominion. Well, that's totally different. I can stand right there with Jesus and say, okay, Lord, you gave me this. But if I was there in heaven, it would just freak me out. So to be carnally minded, he says, is going to be death to you. Now, why does he say that? Because he knows if it's in your mind, it's going to get in your heart. If it's going to get in your heart, it's going to come out your mouth. Comes out your mouth. You ain't going to make it. Because the carnal mind, it's enmity against God. It's at war with God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. It's adamantly opposed to God. Now, what's funny about it that we don't ever understand is we forget that God has a completely different system that he works under. That's not this world system. We forget about that. It's a system where it operates by faith, that he speaks and things are created. The whole world, everything you see, it's created by faith. It's another completely different system. He says, if you just think about this, folks, let's just put it down to this simplistic thing, and I'll finish this up. All a person has to do is to confess with their mouth and believe in their heart in Jesus, and all of heaven is yours. I mean, don't you think we ought to have to jump through like a ring of fire? Or run over hot burning coals? Or some sort of an endurance test, or some sort of something that really shows that you really deserved it. Isn't that humanity? Isn't that what we want to do for work? You say, well, listen, you know, you work really hard and maybe you'll proceed up the ladder and then, you know, then maybe you're deserving of that. But salvation comes about by your faith and your belief, the confession out of your mouth and belief in your heart, and everything is yours. Sense knowledge says, because we live in a life of works. You have to earn it. If you want it, you got to earn it. Jesus says, no. I deal in a different system. It's called revelation system. I just want you to believe it and confess it, and I'll make it happen. He goes on, he says, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He says, by the Spirit and revelation of the Spirit, by that, you're going to be sustained in life. Your mortal flesh has to line up with your revelation. You hear what I'm saying? Your flesh has to respond to what you're believing. The whole world today, most sicknesses, they say, can go back to stress. You know what I'm saying? A lot of sicknesses are brought on, and it's a result of people living under stress. Well, wow, isn't that amazing? If you could just get a hold of the revelation that God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. All the promises of God that He has and He says for you that are true would get in your heart and start coming out your mouth according to Romans 8, then your whole body has to line up with what's coming out of your mouth. Like the other day, I was driving in San Antonio traffic. Ended up at rush hour. It was raining. There was a wreck. I needed to go right, and the wreck was right there. So, you know, being the wise man that I am, I said, I think we can go left, go down, turn around, and come back. And be quicker than trying to sit here to try to get through all this. So I did it. It was semi-successful. So I got so confident that I tried it again on another intersection. And that didn't work at all. It ended up taking me longer than it would have been to get in the traffic and get through it. Needless to say, I was frustrated. Needless to say, the confession that was coming out of my mouth was not positive. Needless to say, I was getting tense and stressed over that situation, right? Until I started thinking about what I'm preaching. And I said, you know what? I said, wait a minute. Holy Ghost, you can get me through all this mess. I can get to where I need to be before I need to get it. What am I even worried about? What am I concerned about? Why am I even thinking this? Lord, you said that you would make all the crooked paths straight for me. So make this crooked path straight for me. I got everything done and ended up where I needed to be 15 minutes early. And didn't sacrifice anything. All I'm saying is the stress left when I got in the Word. What happens to us is we keep living under stress because we don't believe the promises of God. We don't get in the Word. We don't live. We stay in a carnal mind of thinking, and we don't get into what the Word says. Whether it's a situation going on in your family, a situation going on in just your life or this world or this whatever, whatever is bringing stress into your life, you've got to get out of the carnal minded thinking of that area and get into revelation thinking. Because as soon as you begin to, then the confession of your mouth is going to change. You're going to begin to say it out of your mouth. You're going to start to believe it in your heart. You're going to start to produce faith. And when you come to that place, then victory is yours. Amen? Amen. So this is the assignment for you. I'm closing. This is the assignment for you. Would you just this week listen to what comes out of your mouth? I would say husbands help your wife and wives help your husbands, but that would just cause a fight that I had to deal with the next week. But if you would just listen to what comes out of your mouth this week, you will know what's in your heart. And whatever is in your heart, whatever's coming out of your mouth, and it's not coming forth from revelation knowledge, then change it, church. You say, well, how can I change it? By knowing what the Word of God says and speaking what the Word of God says out of your mouth. Your ear will pick it up. It'll get back down in your heart and you'll change the process. It's really simple. Can I just ask y'all this, okay? How many of y'all, be honest with me, how many of y'all, you have some sort of stress on your life because of finances? Just raise your hand. Okay? Now, how would you like to not have any stress in your life over finances? Raise your hand. Okay, just want to see if y'all, I want to give y'all another chance here to raise your hand. Now listen to me. The other day I was praying and I said, you know, Lord, the world is so concerned, we're so all concerned about money because we have to work, you know, like we work to get money, to pay the bills, to keep everything going. And then if you want to do more in life, you're working to get the finances to, you know, to up your, you know, get a new house or get another car, or get something else or whatever. You know, our life is contained about going to work to earn money to pay whatever. Now, some people can get into debt foolishly and you overextended yourself in this, whatever, but I'm just saying, but all of us on this earth, we're working to get it. And then if you don't have work or you're unemployed or whatever, then all of a sudden now the stress comes on you because even though you were keeping the thing going, you know, boom. Or you may have had a pretty good nest egg, but then things have turned south and you're eating your nest egg up and then, you know, whatever. But it's all about money. Can y'all agree with me on that? Right? You wouldn't have any money troubles if your bank account always stayed full.
Great revelation. Reverend Rob, where'd you go, Pastor?
If your account was full all the time, you didn't have to worry about money, right? Oil well pumping in the backyard, just, you know, and just clicks into the bank and you don't have to worry about it. But I want to tell you something. Actually, God says he wants you to go to work and work for 6 days, and the seventh day take a rest and not worry about anything. And he says he wants you to take a rest and not worry about anything because he wants you to know that he's got everything taken care of. Throughout the scriptures, you can go back from the manna being provided in the wilderness, that every morning they got up, and that manna was out there, and gave them provision. All the way through to Jesus needing to pay the tax money and told Peter to go fishing and pull the corn out of the fish's mouth. God always provided for his people. The problem is we're trying to help him provide for us by worrying. Did you hear what I said? We're trying to help him provide for us by worrying. And worry is a sense knowledge. It's not a revelation knowledge. I can promise you this, that you cannot take scriptures on finances. Here's my Pray in the Word book. You can pick up a Pray in the Word book. I think I got some prayers in here on finances. Luke 6:38, given shall be given unto you. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God's able to make all grace abound to you. Oh, that's a good one. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. God is able. Let's just tear this up. Is God able? Y'all believe God's able? God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That means he's going to abound it towards you, right? Watch out, Graham. He's abounding it towards you. Right? He's abounding it towards you. It's going towards you. He's throwing it towards you. That you always, having all sufficiency. Does all sufficiency sound like that's money in the bank that always comes out? I mean, all sufficiency means all sufficiency, right? I mean, all sufficiency means you don't have a lack. So this is where we get messed up. All sufficiency, if you're going to feed a family of four, you know, and you had four steaks, four bowls of beans, four jalapenos, one onion cut up four ways, you don't need anything else, four tortillas, well, maybe eight. And four pieces of chocolate cake, four iced teas, right? You'd have all sufficiency, right? Everybody ate, everybody was full of all sufficiency. But see, what we're worrying about is, oh gosh, what are we going to eat tomorrow? But all sufficiency means you sat down at that meal and you had everything you needed at that meal at that time or that second. And you eat it, well, then what else is there to do? Digest and go to bed. Y'all with me? See, we get all messed up because we keep going to God to say, well, listen, if I have sufficiency, I got to have enough for a week. Oh, thank you. I got enough for a week. I need two. 2 weeks, you got two? I need a month. I'm just saying, God says he will give you all sufficiency in all things and an abundance for every good work. That means God is going to give you an abundance in your life, for the abundance being to give to somebody else. Wait, he wants you to have all sufficiency, but he wants you to have another account called abundance that you use to give it away. And you say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Then you are where you're at. Revelation knowledge means you would take that scripture, you would meditate on that scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:8. You'd write it up on your mirror, you'd write it up on your ice box, you put it down on the stove, you put it on the deals, you put it on everything. You'd walk around saying, God, I just thank you that today you said, you make all grace abound towards me today, and I have all sufficiency in all things and an abundance for every good work. Thank you, Jesus. That's what's mine today. Not what the account says, not what my sufficiency says. Is my sufficiency based upon my knowledge? You say, well, Pastor, you're crazy. No, I'm talking about revelation knowledge versus sense knowledge. And as you begin to speak it out of your mouth, and as you begin to walk in that confession, as you begin to declare, Lord, I'm not going to look at my accounts. I'm not going to look at that, but I just declare today that I have all sufficiency in all things and abundance for every good work. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you begin to say it out of your mouth, and all of a sudden, something happens inside your heart, and you're like, oh my gosh, look what God just did. And something happens, and you see something, miracle take place, and you're like, ah, look what he did. And then all of a sudden, it starts to build your faith, and all of a sudden, it starts to become a part of your life. Then it starts to become an utterance out of your mouth, not by your head just speaking it out of your mouth. It's really coming out of your heart because you truly believe it. And when you truly believe it, you know what happens? It happens! We're all over here trying to produce faith like, I believed, I think I did, yeah. Felt like it, seemed like it. I mean, I looked religious when I did it. I think I got it, Lord. When God says, are you crazy? I know God doesn't say that, but if I was him, I would say, y'all just eat up with stupid or what? I made it so simple for you. I just want you to believe that what I said was true, and when you do, I'll do it.
That's too easy. We got to make it harder, Lord. Let me work for it. Then I feel like I earned it.
We're the crazy ones. All right, I'm through. I quit. Let's go eat. Are y'all with me? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying, church? Or hopefully you're hearing what the Spirit of God's saying to you. I hope it's changing you. Because it's the only way you're going to have success. It's the only way you're going to have victory. So if you would, stand to your feet. Look at the person beside you and say, this guy's really good. I think I'll be back. Can I have my prayer team come down? Church, I'm gonna pray for you. our prayer of the service, and we've got dinner on the grounds over here. We're gonna be eating here today and fellowshipping together today. If you didn't know about it, you're welcome. Please come and stay with us. If you're just passing through or whatever, just come and fellowship, sit down, get you a plate. God always blesses the food. He multiplies it. Don't worry about that. I got faith for that. I don't think anybody's ever gone hungry. But I got to ask you today, church, listen to me. You may not be walking in what I'm talking about this morning, but listen, are you walking at least the revelation that Jesus loves you? He paid a price for your sins. He died on the cross so that you could be saved. So all your sins could be washed away. Are you walking in that revelation? Because Romans 10:17 says, man, if you'll just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, Or excuse me, Romans 10:9. Just confess with their mouth and believe in your heart. You can be saved. You can be saved. And know that you're headed to heaven. Know that heaven's your home. So if you're out there today and you're listening by radio or you're watching by video today, or you're in here today, and you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, today's your day. Today, your heart's pounding and saying, my God, I want to know that I'm going to go to heaven. Well, listen to me. I want to pray with you right quick. I want to pray with you, and then we're up here at the front to pray with you. But I want to ask you, everybody, just to bow your heads for just a moment. Just look into your heart. If you're in here today and you're not sure that Jesus is your Lord and you want to be, I want to pray with you right where you're at. Just lift up your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, you're talking to me. Today's my day. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Just lift up your hand and say, yeah, that's me. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you listening by audio, those of you watching by video today, listen, just pray this prayer with me. Ask Jesus to come into your life. Say, Jesus, today I give you my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me. And I believe that today, my life is yours. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, church, listen, if you've got prayer needs, we'll be up here to pray with you. We're going to go on over and have some fellowship and some lunch together. But take the hand of that person beside you this morning. And let me pray over you. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I speak over everyone in here today. Lord, I speak and I just declare that the revelation knowledge of the Word of God goes into their lives and their hearts today. That this message today changes their lives. This message today sets them free from the bondages of living in sense knowledge. And they can grab hold and walk in revelation knowledge. I declare that their confessions change and it becomes the confession of the Word of God, the promises of the Word. And that, Lord, you set them free today. Jesus, we give you praise. We give you thanks for everything you're doing. And God, I just thank you that you're in our life and you made it so simple. And we don't want to make it complicated. So Lord, bless this food that we're about to eat and our fellowship and our time together. And Lord, just bless everyone here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you, church. We're up here for you if you need prayer. Thanks, Jeff, but...